For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Tick season is upon us, and what does the tick season look like here in Western New York to you?
Sure. I think every season's tick season. I think that's just a really big misconception that we always kind of like to point out. I think right now what's happening is there is definitely an influx of ticks just due to the, you know, the milder winters and warmer temperatures. So right now we're definitely seeing a pretty big increase of people complaining of attached ticks or finding ticks crawling on themselves, their animals, or their children right now.
Rebecca, what can people do to keep ticks off their pets or themselves?
I think the biggest thing is prevention. I mean, prevention is key. I would definitely say that, you know, we always tell people to always spray before you play. You know, use picaridin on your skin, use permethrin on your gear. That's something that's good for a couple of weeks. On the skin, you have to use daily as if it's a sunscreen kind of type thing. Like, we use it on a regular basis, and always tick check. And again, another misconception is that this is a wooded area problem, you know, and that is 100% not the case. It's an everywhere problem. We always tell people it's a baseball field problem. It's a soccer complex problem. It's a playground problem. It's a backyard problem. It's a suburb problem. It's an urban problem. So I think a lot of people are kind of always associated with deer in the wooded areas, and that's just not the case. So really just spray before you play and always do a tick check.
And you say that ticks are all over, not just wooded areas. Have ticks just grown, ticks just found their way out of the woods in the recent years?
Yeah, and that's another thing we always say. Ticks don't know borders, right? They don't know that they've left the woods. I just think that what happens is that they're being carried on rodents. They're being carried on birds. So it's really, there's not a certain area that they're staying contained to. So it's just becoming a higher influx. I also just think that there's a heightened awareness surrounding it as well right now. I think in the past, it wasn't really talked about as much. And I think, you know, organizations like Lyme Western New York and other organizations and other people and advocates are talking about it a little bit more and have brought it more to, you know, our heightened our senses. So I think people are paying attention to a little bit more than they used to as well.
And what are some of the things you can do to protect yourself if a tick does bite you? What can you do to prevent this tick from causing Lyme disease?
Sure. So a couple of things. If you do find a tick bite or you happen to, always save it. Don't flush it down the toilet. On our website, LymeWNY.com, we have some resources and links of where you can send your tick out to get tested. So always save it, always get it tested, because I think a lot of people are just concerned with Lyme disease, and that's not the case either. There's Lyme disease, and there's many co-infections that go along with it. I mean, words that you can't even pronounce sometimes, you know, ehrlichiosis, Bartonella, anaplasmosis, Babesia. There's other co-infections, so you want to send that tick out and get tested for it. Contact your doctor right away. Don't let them just give you one pill or, you know, two pills. Be an advocate for yourself. Make sure you get a longer term, and make sure you really are on top of how your body's feeling, your symptoms, and if you recognize any changes in your health.
And heaven forbid a tick bite does lead to Lyme disease, what are the things you should be watching out for to contact your doctor about?
Sure. I just think a pretty rapid change in your health, almost like flu-like symptoms. The problem is it really does affect everybody so differently, and you don't always necessarily get the rash either. I think a lot of times there is a misconception that you have to have a rash or that you saw the tick. And that's also never, usually, you know, you don't recall having the tick on you or seeing it. So I think if you start having like a flu-like reactions, brain fog, eye problems, vision problems, joint pains, migrating joint pains, anything that's just really out of the ordinary that you kind of comes on suddenly. It's a pretty aggressive illness, I think, where you feel it and your body feels like it's shutting down.
And once you're diagnosed with Lyme disease, I don't think there's any, what treatments, if any, are there for Lyme disease?
Well, we're not doctors, but we always recommend getting a longer dose of antibiotics. And if you know you have a hard time with that, just come and contact us and our organization, and we will help you the best we can at one of our support meetings.
And how long-term could the effects of Lyme disease be on for someone who gets it?
For Lyme disease and co-infections, it could be the rest of your life. You know, we have people who are completely debilitated from it, and it's, you know, it causes them to stop being able to work, stop being able to function. It could completely, you know, we always say there's a line before Lyme disease. There's a line before where you're, you know, you're quote unquote normal, then there's a line after. And sometimes you have to face a new normal that isn't, it's a very devastating disease that sometimes people deal with for the rest of their lives. And especially pediatrics too, pediatric patients, kids, it can affect them in so many different ways, emotionally, physically, cognitively. So there's so many different ways that it can really affect you for the rest of your life.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.